It is so nice to know that we can come to you and talk to you just like we talk to everybody else in our lives, that you're not looking for anything in particular from us. We can come and be real. And I just pray that today, as we explore this topic of prayer, that you would just change all of our perspective on it, and we'd see it like you do, very simply, very easy, very casual. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Well, with a title like Fresh Breath, you know, I always wonder, what do people think this series is going to be about? You know, I wonder if they thought when they came in that this was going to be kind of a biblical teaching on personal hygiene, you know? Actually, it is. We're going to start with flossing today. Everybody got their Glide floss when they came in? No, actually, we're talking about prayer in this series and really looking at it through the eyes of someone who did it very often and knew a thing or two about the topic. Because even a casual look at the Bible, you can see that prayer was a big part of Jesus' life. I mean, there are these stories where it says that he slipped away early to spend some time having a talk with God. And then we have these recorded prayers, these conversations that he had with the Father, as he liked to call him. So prayer was a big part of Jesus' life, and there's a lot that we can learn about prayer from him. But you might be asking, well, why is this relevant? Why talk about prayer? I mean, you know, kind of a topic, like Stephen said, it's an old topic, something that we all know about. Why talk about it? Well, I think it's really relevant. I think it's probably particularly relevant for us because, as one person said, we live in a society that is starved for experiences, especially experiences of the soul. Because unfortunately, everything in our society has been boiled down to something that can be measured. It's got to be a commodity. It's got to be a process. And so prayer doesn't always fit in that box, but we sure try. We sure try to fit prayer into this process box. When really, it should be very simple. It should be simply having a conversation with God. And one of the things we see from how Jesus wants us to see prayer is exactly that. That when we think of prayer, we should think of words like easy, natural, casual, conversational. But if you're anything like me, those are not the words that come to mind when you think of prayer. You know, I think of prayer kind of like I thought about going to the principal's office, you know, when I was in school. I mean, you know, if you get called to the principal's office, you got to go. You don't have a choice. But man, it's not really where you want to be. But I think as you look at the Bible and as we look at the lessons that Jesus teaches us about prayer, what we'll see is that he didn't want prayer to be equated with that. Going to the principal's office, you know, things like having a root canal or an enema, Bengals season tickets, you know, things that just cause us pain season after season after subpar season. Oh, man. I just had to pick with the Bengals a little bit. You know, actually, you don't get as many laughs when you pick with the Bengals now because they're doing pretty good. They're doing pretty good. They still haven't made it to, you know, to the playoffs yet, but, you know, at least that's something we all can pray for. But as we think about prayer, you know, a lot of times we equate those words with it. And that's not what God wants us to do. So today we're going to look at prayer, and hopefully we'll leave with a perspective on prayer like Jesus had. That is something like breathing. I want to take a look at a clip, though, of the Lord's Prayer, because I'm sure we've all heard it before. And this is a kind of interesting spin on the Lord's Prayer. Take a look.
Huddle up. Bring it in, guys. Father, everyone take a hand.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and the hour of our death. Amen.
Notre Dame, our mother,
pray for us!
Hail Mary, Mother God. But that's what we do a lot. When we pray, when we think of the Lord's Prayer, we do the same thing. And that's not what God wanted. So welcome to the kitchen. Welcome to the kitchen. I understand this is the first time we've actually had a functioning kitchen on stage. So, you know, this is working. It's hot. It's warm. And but this is kind of a process for me that I've experienced in terms of learning prayer. And it really goes back to something that I did a couple of weeks ago when I went to Philadelphia to learn how to make a very special dish. This dish is made by a very special lady in my life. It's my mom. My mom's name is Miriam. And among Miriam's many talents, she is a great cook. I mean, a great cook. And the thing about it is in the Mingo household, we had this wonderful combination of not just quality, but quantity, too. So when you came to my house, you were guaranteed to have seconds and thirds and whatever else you wanted. As a matter of fact, you know, one of the most important things in my mom's kitchen was foil. Because you need foil to be able to take home all the extra food that's going to be left over. But she is, I'm telling you, she's just a great cook. She was just a really good cook. And, you know, not just a good cook. I mean, my mom is just an amazing lady. She really is a saint. My mom, I'm telling you, my mom is such a fantastic lady. She really is. Oh, and by the way, she's in the audience tonight. Mom, there she is. There she is. Say hi to my mom, everybody. All the way from Philadelphia. Mom, did I get that line right? Did I say it like you wanted me to say it? All right. But she is a good cook. But like most parents, there's always that one recipe. There's always that one dish that really stands out above all others. Am I right? Something that you just crave from your mom. Well, for my mom, it is her bread pudding. Man, my mom makes the best bread pudding I have ever tasted in my life. And I'm serious. I mean, I love her bread pudding. It's something that every time I go home, I'm hoping she made it because it's just so good. And everywhere I go, I've been to the best restaurants and had their bread pudding, and it just doesn't taste like mom's. It just doesn't taste like mom's bread pudding. And so, you know, with my mom living in Philadelphia, living so far away, it's like, man, I really need to learn how to make this on my own. Because bread pudding doesn't really travel very well via U.S. mail. Not that I've tried that or anything, but it doesn't really work. So I went home to learn how to make bread pudding, and it was an interesting experience. It really was. And one of the things that struck me is a lot of the lessons I learned in the kitchen with my mom about making bread pudding really apply to this idea of prayer, and specifically what Jesus wants us to see in this idea of prayer. So this is kind of like a final exam for me in some ways, because I get to make bread pudding tonight in front of 1,200 or so of my closest friends. So you all are in for a treat. Unfortunately, I couldn't make enough for everybody, but maybe some of you will get a chance to sample this, though it's not my mom, so you may not want to. I'm still trying. But, you know, one of the things about prayer that we see in the life of Jesus, we find in the book of Matthew. And Matthew is one of the biographies of Jesus' life. And it's a biography that was written by one of the disciples, people who follow Jesus. And what you find in the Gospels, as we call them, is all of these stories of Jesus kind of teaching them things that they need to know about following him and living a life like he would have them live it. And prayer, obviously, is one of those topics. And we find this in Matthew chapter 6. And it starts at verse 5. And actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it tonight out of a different translation of the Bible. It's called The Message, and it's a paraphrase. It has the essential message of the Bible, but it really puts it into terminology as if it would be written in today's language. So we find this in Matthew 6, chapter 5, where Jesus is teaching about prayer, and the title is Pray with Simplicity. And it says this, it says, "And when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply." You know, as I read this, and I think The Message really heightens this, the first thing that strikes me is how far I stray from the understanding of what Jesus is teaching here. I mean, I get caught up in, you know, man, I got to be dead on when I pray. It's this process. And like Stephen said, it's this thing about pressure. And that's not what Jesus wants it to be. But that's what we make it often. We make it this thing about pressure. You know, we set it up as it's this overcomplicated thing that has to be done at 5 o'clock in the morning. You got to do it for an hour if it's really going to stick. Am I right? And that's what we think of when we think about prayer. And you know what? Jesus is teaching us here that that's not the idea he wants us to have of prayer. I wish you could smell this. It smells so good. Oh, man, it's really good. Hopefully it'll come out like my mom's. We'll see. But we think of prayer kind of the opposite of what God would have us to think of it as. And, you know, I kind of learned this lesson from making bread pudding with my mom. And it was something that really stood out to me. You know what? The first thing I learned from my mom about making bread pudding is this. See the recipe for what it is. It's a general guideline to be followed. See the recipe for what it is. It's just a general guideline to be followed. And that's what my mom taught me in making bread pudding. You know, when I went to to Philly to make bread pudding, I'm thinking, man, this is going to be an 8-hour ordeal. And, You know, I'll be lucky if I'm halfway able to make the thing when I leave, because it's got to be the hardest thing ever. I mean, that's why it tastes so good, right? You know, and what I realized is the recipe my mom uses is pretty simple. It's not really a complex recipe, and it's general. It's general. It's not something that has to be followed to a T. But a lot of times when we approach, you know, prayer, we think about it that way. But that's not the case, and God doesn't want us to see it like that. So that was one of my first lessons in making my mom's bread pudding, is to see the recipe for what it is. It really is just a guideline to be followed, kind of like I'm following the guideline tonight. I love what Jesus says in verse 5 in the Message. He says, just be there as simply and as honestly as you can. It's a simple thing. You know, I got my cell phone up here with me. And man, what do we ever do without cell phones, right? We're all like joined to the hip with our cell phone. And a couple weeks ago, I lost my cell phone. And for anybody who's ever lost a cell phone, you know how frustrating that can be. But I tell you, the thing that was so frustrating about this one is this cell phone is actually the replacement cell phone for the first cell phone that I lost. So I'm like, man, I'm losing my second cell phone in a couple months here. What am I going to do? The situation was I lived downtown, and we had a big Easter egg hunt in the neighborhood. So we had all these kids in the garden, and we're, you know, looking for Easter eggs. And just in the midst of playing with the kids and having fun, I must have dropped my cell phone. It must have, you know, kind of dropped off of my pants and fell somewhere. And so I'm in the garden looking for this cell phone, knowing that, you know what happened. Somebody probably picked it up. It was like 60-plus kids. I'm not going to find this cell phone, but I'm going to try. So I'm looking for it all over, and of course I don't find it. So, you know, I was kind of thinking about prayer at the time because I had been kind of preparing for all this stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to put you to the test, God. Pray a real simple prayer. You know what my prayer was? God, I do not want to have to buy another cell phone. That was my prayer. And it was true. I didn't want to. I was just so frustrated. I had a lot of stuff going on, and I didn't want to have to buy another cell phone. Well, I tell you, no sooner had I prayed that than I turned around, and what do I see? See some guys on the corner taking pictures with the camera phone, like, yo, look at this, we got a new phone. And it was my phone. It was my phone. So I kind of knew the guy, so I went over to him and I was able to get my phone back. You know, I gave him a nice lesson about, you know, taking things from other people and all that good stuff. So hopefully that stuck. But I found my phone. And it was a real simple prayer. And you know what? What struck me was, man, God, you know, we do not need to complicate this thing. Prayer can be simple. Now, that doesn't mean that it always gets answered. You know, I mean, tell you another simple prayer I have. Tomorrow's the NFL draft. Why are you laughing? What are you talking about? Tomorrow's the NFL draft. And so, you know, I prayed very simply. God, I'd love to be the first wide receiver taken by the Philadelphia Eagles tomorrow. That would really be nice. So we'll see how that one turns out. You want to stay tuned, you can watch the draft tomorrow and see if that one happens for me. So probably don't want to hold your breath, though. But anyway, you know, prayer is a very simple thing, but we can make it complex. Kind of like, you know, getting the bread pudding in the oven while you're talking to 1,200 people. But God doesn't want us to see it that way. It's a recipe. It's a general guideline to be followed. Now, one of the other things that really gets me about my mom when I cook with her is my mom never measures. She never measures anything. She just kind of throws in a little bit of vanilla and throws in a little bit of cinnamon and nutmeg. And, you know, she's just kind of doing her thing. And, you know, for somebody like me who's really a cooking novice, I really am. I mean, my wife can tell you that I'm just getting the cooking thing down. I'm not an expert by any means. And so, you know, it kind of gets frustrating when you're trying to learn to cook from somebody who doesn't measure. And my mom doesn't measure. So we're in the kitchen and we're making the bread pudding. And, you know, my mom starts doing her thing. She starts putting stuff in and she is just going. And so I'm trying to find something to measure with in the house, whether it's a cup or my finger, something, so I can kind of figure out what she's doing and replicate that. And it's funny because she's laughing at me. You know, she's laughing because she knows that that's one of the things that frustrates me. And she said something to me that was really profound. And you got to know my mom. My mom calls me hun. She said, hun, you don't need to worry about the measurements. You can always add. You can take away. You can make the measurements work for you. And over time, it just gets easy. You just kind of get a feel for it. And you know what? She's right. And that's one of the things that is true, not just about making bread pudding, but also about prayer. Is that we can get caught up in exact measurements. But Jesus, I think, is saying to us, don't get caught up in exact measurements. Just let it flow naturally. We don't have to get caught up in these exact processes. You know, we think it's got to be a right position for prayer. There's got to be a right time, a right place. And Jesus is saying, no, it's not about all that. I love what he says in the Message in verses 7 and 8. We're going to put that up so we can see that again. I think this is such a powerful statement that Jesus is making here. He says the world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are really prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with. And he knows better than you what you need. And I love this line. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply. This is your Father. I love that analogy of Father. And that's what he's saying is when we come to God, when we come and pray, we're coming to somebody who loves us so much. He really is. We don't have to be about exact measures. You know, the analogy I think of is, you know, imagine you were at McDonald's with a friend and you're ordering from McDonald's and your friend orders a little something like this. Oh, great purveyor of the golden arches. I know that you alone can grant my hunger for a number 5 combo. And with all humility, even though I don't deserve it, I pray that you would supersize my combo because you alone are the creator of the supersize. Please, please, oh humble one, grant my lowly request. I mean, who orders like that from McDonald's? You know, first of all, if you did, you'd probably get a really weird look from the people who were taking the order. That's first thing. But a lot of times we think we have to come to prayer with that same kind of formality. And Jesus is saying to us, no, this is your Father. You can pray very simply. You can pray very, very simply. And I think sometimes we lose that in prayer. And that's one of the things that Jesus would love us to see. There's a quote that really emphasizes this point. And this quote is from Dallas Willard. And Dallas Willard is a philosophy professor at the University of Southern California. And he really puts a great spin on this piece around the simplicity of prayer and how we can approach God. This is what he says. He says, Jesus' intent, and he's talking about Jesus in this story that we're talking about here, the Lord's Prayer. His intent was to bring his apprentices to the point where they dearly love and constantly delight in the Heavenly Father, made real to earth in Jesus, and are quite certain that there is no catch, no limit to the goodness of his intentions or his power to carry them out. It's like that principal's office. We think there's a catch. You know, we think there's a secret code word. We think there's something we got to do. And if we don't do it just right, we got to pray again. It's not going to work. It's not going to take. And I love that because he's saying there's no catch. And Jesus is inviting us to see prayer the way he sees it, that there's no catch. It's a simple thing. And God desires us to pray to him like that. So let's take a look at the prayer. I like to call it the prayer recipe, the Lord's Prayer. What is it that we can learn about prayer from this recipe? Let's take a look at that. And we're going to read this in the NIV because this is a translation that many of us are familiar with. You've probably read this before. And I invite you, if you want to go ahead and read along with me as I say this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's really the prayer recipe. And if you take a look at that, with the perspective we've talked about, it really is simple. There really are two ingredients, two very simple ingredients to that prayer. The first ingredient is reflecting. Just reflecting. Just thinking about who it is that we're praying to. And, you know, we have a saying where I'm from in Philadelphia, and we call it, you know, flipping the script. And you flip the script when you take somebody's understanding of something and just turn it on its head. And I think sometimes as we're reading the Bible, we can miss the places in the Bible where Jesus really flipped the script because we don't have the context behind it. And this is one of those examples, because when we read that word, our Father, the best translation for that in the language that Jesus spoke is the word daddy. It's the word that I used when I opened up. It's daddy. This intimate understanding of a relationship with God. And I think that is just so cool to think about Jesus flipping the script on these folks and saying, hey, you can call him daddy. Because guess what? In the Jewish culture at that time, many times they wouldn't even pronounce the name of God out of reverence. And that's a good thing. That's a good perspective to have. But Jesus is coming and he's saying, you know what? Yes, he's reverent. You need to revere him, but you can also call him daddy. I think that is a great way to think about God. And not only that, but then he says, our Father in heaven. And you know what? Really, that in heaven piece is really he's saying, you're the God who is everywhere. So I'll tell you what I think about that. When we pray, most of us pray with our eyes closed, right? When you think about what Jesus is saying here, reflecting on who God is, it's almost as if he would pray that with his eyes open. Because he would want to say, you're the God who's everywhere. You're the God in that green tree over there and the fruit that's coming from that tree. You are the God that really is responsible for the beautiful water at the lake. That's who you are. You're the God who is everywhere. I can have this intimate relationship with you. I can call you daddy. Yet you are the God who is everywhere. And that reflection, that understanding of God when we pray, it'll change your perspective on prayer. That's a fresh perspective on prayer. And that's what he's teaching us in the Lord's Prayer. And you know what? You can do it very simply. You don't have to have flowery words. You can say, God, man, Dad, you are everywhere. You are everywhere. It could be very simple. And then the other piece is requesting. The second piece of the prayer is requesting, making simple requests of God. And Jesus in this prayer, he really models a couple of requests that we can make. The first request is real simple. One of the reasons I wanted to talk about bread pudding is because what does Jesus say? Give us our daily bread. We got to eat. That's what he's saying. It's like the Rally's commercial. You know, we got to eat. He's saying, take care of the basic needs. God, I need food. I need a crib. I need some place to sleep. I need that. And I can pray to God that way. Not only that, but he says we can pray for forgiveness. I'm sure there's some stuff I've done this week, God, that you didn't like. And I just want to recognize that and ask you to give me grace. Forgive me for that in a very simple way. He also says that we can pray for grace to forgive other people. Because, you know, we all got people in our lives that it's hard to forgive, right? And he's saying we can pray for grace from God to forgive them. And we can also pray for protection. You know, one of the prayers that I pray for protection from temptation is, God, if it's up to me, I'll make the wrong decision. So help me make the right one this time. And in these very simple, clumsy ways, we can engage God in prayer. And that's what he wants. He wants us to see prayer like he did. It's about reflecting and it's about requesting. You know, from spending time in the kitchen with my mom making this bread pudding, the thing that really jumped out at me is that it really ain't that hard. It's kind of easy. It really is kind of easy. And you know what? I think Jesus would want us to see prayer the same way. It doesn't have to be hard. It can be very easy. You know, one of the things about this story that always struck me is you find this story in two places in the Bible. The story of Jesus teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer, as we called it. One of the places is obviously in Matthew. We read that. And the other place is in another biography of Jesus' life. It's the book of Luke. And in Luke, it's kind of interesting because the teaching that Jesus gives on prayer is preceded by a simple question from one of his disciples. The simple question is, Lord, teach us to pray. And I always found that interesting because one of the other pieces of context in that time, these folks knew a lot about prayer. They prayed a lot. As a matter of fact, probably by the time they were like 13 or 14, they would have memorized quite a few prayers. And so what was it about seeing Jesus pray that made them want to say to him, teach us, even though we pray, teach us to pray? And I think it was hopefully what we're seeing today, that when Jesus prayed, I guess I didn't tell you guys that my mom's recipe is tasty, but it doesn't really fit the South Beach diet. You probably figured that out. But it's good. But they're saying, teach us to pray. And I think it was because Jesus' prayers were very casual, very conversational. He engaged God on a relational level, on family terms. And they saw that. Not only did they see that it was relational, it was conversational, but man, talk about results. Jesus prayed and people who were blind started to see. He prayed and people who were deaf started to hear. He prayed and people who were dead got up. So I think they said, man, if you can pray simply and get those kind of results, there's something we can learn from him about prayer. And you know what was exciting is Jesus wanted them to ask that question. And he delighted in teaching them about prayer. And he gave them this recipe, this simple prayer recipe, so that they could engage in it. It's almost like he made it look easy. But you know what? What Jesus was really trying to do is what hopefully all of us can do, leaving this today. Because it never will get easier unless you spend time in the kitchen. You know, the thing for me in making bread pudding is I'm thinking it's going to be complicated. And that's because I had never spent time in the kitchen when my mom made bread pudding. I got to eat the finished product. I love the finished product. But when I spent time in the kitchen with my mom, I realized that it could be easier. Now, why does time in the kitchen make it easier? Well, because you're practicing, right? You're getting a chance to try and fail. I mean, that's probably one of the joys of cooking is that, you know what, quite honestly, I'm going to make some good bread puddings. And I'm going to probably make some really bad bread puddings. But time in the kitchen gives you practice. It gives you experience, a level of comfort. And that's what Jesus would have us to know about prayer. Spend time in the kitchen. If you don't spend time in the kitchen, it will never get easier. So I've got a little bit of homework for all of you to get you in the kitchen. You got a program when you came in today, and if you open that program, you have a blue insert that kind of looks like this. Now, you got to know, I love you guys very much. If my skill level was at a point where I can make bread pudding for everybody in here, I would do it. But if I made bread pudding for everybody in here, you probably wouldn't want to eat it. So, the next best thing, and this is with my mother's permission, for those of you who are concerned, on one side of that, you have my mom's bread pudding recipe. So you can get in the kitchen. All this talk about bread pudding, you might be smelling it. You see me up here with the 2 pieces of butter. You've got the recipe. So you can go home, you can get in the kitchen, and you can make my mom's bread pudding. And if you'd like to leave a small donation outside, no, I'm playing. But if you turn on the other side, there's another recipe. It's the prayer recipe that we've been talking about today, Jesus' prayer recipe. And that recipe has two simple things. The first, again, is reflecting. And what I'd like to encourage you to do this week as you get in the kitchen is reflect on that phrase, our Father. Reflect on what it might mean to have that kind of relationship with God that you call him Daddy. Now, you know what? For some of us, we hear that question and it doesn't really rub us right. It causes some pain because our earthly fathers may have not really lived up to a place in our lives where we feel comfortable with that. That may not leave a good picture in our mind. I'd encourage you to talk to God about that this week. Now, for others of us, you might say, you know what? It sounds almost irreverent to approach God in such a casual way. I'd encourage you to engage God about that this week. For others of us, you might say, you know what? I just went through some stuff in my life, and I saw God really be like a father to me when nobody else was. For you, the reflection might be thanking him for some of the things that he's done for you. It might be your reflection. But I'd encourage you to get in the kitchen around that this week. And from a request standpoint, think about something in your life that's coming up, a situation that you're going to face where you could use some fatherly advice. And I'd encourage you this week to engage God with that in a very simple, very casual way. Maybe you have a job interview and you're like, God, I need this job. I need some money. Help me with this, God. For others of you, you might be interacting with somebody who really causes you a couple frustrations. And your prayer might be, God, I'm about to knock this person out. If you don't help me this week, get through this meeting. Very simple, very honest. You can pray to God that way. Whatever it is, I'd encourage you to pray, to talk to God. For others of us, it might be, you know what? God, I don't even know if you're there. That's a prayer. That's a prayer. You can pray to God very simply, very easily. There's a verse in Psalms, and Psalms is really a collection of poems in the Bible. And one of the Psalms is just so awesome because it just is really simple. And it simply says, the Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. You know, I think these awkward, clumsy, simple prayers, I think these are the ones that really move the heart of God because they're real and they come from the heart. So with a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply. Let's have another talk with God. This week, as we do this, I just ask that you would help us to really understand what it means. And as we talk to you, God, that you would you'd answer. You talk to us. You talk back. That prayer is also about listening and hearing what you have to say. And God, I have to say that all this talk about bread pudding has really made me hungry. So I also want to thank you for this bread pudding that I'm about to eat in front of all these people. Amen.